Open up your Bibles to John chapter 8. You need your Bible. You're at church. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're going to be in verse 44 starting tonight. Tonight we're going to be teaching a message called The Devil's Tools. Doesn't that look like freaky? Like, ooh, right? You guys like that slide? When I made it, I was like, what's kind of scary looking? And that's, even though the devil's not really scary, he doesn't look like that. I know, that was very scary. So let's open up in prayer, guys. God, thank you so much, Lord, for who you are, Lord. God, I pray that we would just learn, Lord, that you are ultimate, you are victorious. Lord, there's nothing that anyone can do to thwart your plan, Lord. God, whatever you want to be done will be done, and there is nobody in this world that can stop that. So God, please keep us attentive. God, keep it on our hearts that you have something to tell us tonight, specifically, Lord, to help us out in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys have probably heard that you need the right tool for the job, right? You guys probably heard that before. And this is really true. I mean, imagine trying to cut down a house with a butter knife, right? It would take forever. Imagine if you were trying to, you need a power saw, right? That's what you need. Or imagine if you're trying to build this house and all you had to build this house was one screwdriver, right? You're like, how am I supposed to do everything with just one screwdriver? To be successful in what you guys do, it requires that in each field that you work in, that you have your own proper set of skills and proper tools. That's what you need. A builder needs an array of tools, right? He can't just get a job done with one tool. He needs several different tools. A baker needs several different utensils to bake something, right? It can't just be one measuring cup. You know what I mean? They need several different things to make sure that it's exact and right. Well, today as we continue our series, you guys, which is called Summer Success, we're going to look at the tools that our enemy uses, the devil. Most people's skills and tools have come a long way over thousands of years. You wouldn't use the same tools that you used in Abraham and Job's days to build a house that you would today. Things have changed. But there is one person, you guys, who has been using the same tools for thousands of years. Someone has been using them to make, and it has been the downfall of many. And this is why we need to talk about them. Because just like all these things we've talked about in our summer series, you guys, we talked about dating, we've talked about parents, we've talked about everything. We need to know what God has to say about these things in our lives so that we know where what we should be doing. And as our summer success series will be ending in the next couple of weeks here, you guys, we need to finish out our summer strong because you guys all have school coming up. And what you make of this next couple of weeks can very much affect your life at school. Then we can go to this tough place like school can be, and we can finish our summer strong, and we can avoid these potential pitfalls at our jobs, at school. So tonight, you guys, we're going to look at 4 points. We're gonna look at the beginning of the devil. We're gonna look at the tools, the things that he uses to stumble us. We're gonna look at the consequences of not following God, the consequences of following the devil, and your choice. How either you're either against or for God. It's that simple. Regardless of what you think, you're either with or for God. So let's read the whole passage we're gonna be starting off in today. It's gonna be John 8, 44 through 47. Let me just give you a little setup. These guys were basically, of course, as always, telling Jesus that he wasn't the Christ, and he was telling them that they don't believe in truth and all these things, and they're basically questioning him, and he's saying, listen, you don't even believe in the truth that I'm speaking to you. So this is Jesus having this conversation with some people. So I'm going to be in 47. I'm sorry, 44, guys. I shouldn't have said that. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of them. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. We know that everything that had an end, you guys, must have had a beginning. You guys, a lot of you guys studied Revelation earlier this year, and we saw that Satan's ultimate demise is going to be defeat. And for those of you who weren't in Revelation, we see that one day, God already tells us the future, that the Satan will be cast into the lake of fire where he will be tormented, he will be punished forever, and he will never be able to mess with us again. So this means that if it had a beginning, it needs to have an end, and vice versa. If it has an end, it has a beginning. Like my car. My car was made. It had a beginning. My car will not last for my entire lifetime. Well, unless I guess I die soon or something like that. Hopefully not. But my car will not last a very long time. It was created. It was built by some guys and some machinery. And regardless of how much time and effort and things I put into it, eventually it will not be worth the money. It will not be worth the value to do it anymore. And check this out. Scientists know that the sun and that the earth as well are both running down of energy. That means that someday, should the Lord tarry, should the Lord wait and not come back very soon, that the sun only has so much energy and so does the earth. The sun can only burn for so long. Eventually, it will end. And if that's true, then we know that it had once a beginning because someone had to fill it up, right? I mean, when you have a car that gets down to empty and runs out of gas, there must have been a time when somebody filled up that gas tank so that we could use the energy, right? And the point I'm trying to make here, you guys, is that Satan was a created being. He was not created to be evil, though. He was not created to be evil. But he went evil because of his own free will. Jesus says right here in the text that Satan had a beginning. He says, since the beginning, he has been a murderer. That's what he says. And you know the first line in your Bible, right, guys? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So when God made the heavens and the earth, he made angels. Satan also was an angel. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Paul calls Satan an angel of light. Can you believe that? An angel of light. So the fall of Satan, so when Satan decided, hey, I don't want to be with God anymore, I want to do my own thing, happened somewhere between Genesis 1:1, when God created the heavens and the earth, right? Because in heaven is where angels dwelled. And somewhere between 3:1, chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis, because that's when we see the devil show up on the scene and tempt Adam and Eve to break God's rule, right? So that was when Satan was created. The Bible doesn't say exactly what happened, but we do know that Satan fell because of pride. And we're going to look at a couple accounts and what scholars believe in the Bible that talks about when Satan fell and the things he was doing. So I'm actually going to turn, you guys can come with me if you're not, but I can just read it to you as well. I'm going to Isaiah 14:12-19. Oh, you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the grounds. How you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne over the stars of God, and I will also sit on the mount of congregation, on the farthest side north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, he who made world as wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like a garment of those who are slain, thrust with a sword, who goes down to the stones of pits like a corpse trotted under foot. So that's one account. That's one. They're saying, hey, here's the devil. He's saying, I want to be just like God. I want to be better than God. I want to put my throne above his. I want to be above all that. I want to do more than that. And then he says, but look, someday somebody will look at you in the pit and say, hey, isn't that guy who caused all that trouble? Isn't that guy who brought kingdoms down, who brought all this evil onto the earth? Look at him now. He's just bound and tied. I'm going to go to Ezekiel 28, 11 through 19 for the second one. Remember, this is them talking about the devil. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God. So this is God now talking to Satan. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, emerald, and gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You were on a holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth through the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in the ways that you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, your corruption, your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that they may gaze at you. You defiled sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquities of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It'll devour you, and I'll turn you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror, and you shall be no more. So as you guys can see, Satan was like, he used to be the guy, dude. He was the anointed cherub. He had a huge privilege. He was one of the most privileged cherubs in all of the angel realm. Genesis 3:24 says that cherub are like super angels. So these were like, man, they could do almost anything. And it says that the cherubs in Genesis 3:24 were the ones to watch over God's holiness. That's how amazing their duty was as being these super cherub. That's amazing. So Satan had this huge beginning, but here's the deal. It all went to his head. We just saw in the Isaiah passage that he says that he wants to put his throne over heaven. And even it says, you thought you were so beautiful. Isn't that funny? The way we think about the devil, right? We think about this, like fire and horns and pitchforks. Or, you know what I mean? Like we think about that when we think of the devil, right? But it tells us here that the devil was beautiful. He was laced with every single stone. He had the best of all the metals all over him. Isn't that crazy? Who would have thought of the devil like that? So Satan had all this power, and he started to say that he wanted to be greater than God himself. And that's when God was like, oh no, nobody is greater than me. And just for you even attempting to be as great as I am, I will cast you down. I will make you an embarrassment in front of everybody. And eventually one day you will exist no more because you wanted to be greater than me, which is crazy. That's crazy. I don't know if you guys heard it in Isaiah, but he says, I will throw you down into a pit like a trampled corpse. Yikes, dude. Don't mess with God. Dude, who wants God to cast you down and walk over you like a dead corpse? That is insane that he put that in there. I love that. Satan has so many names. In the Bible, he's called many things, and they all fit him very well. He's called the God of this world. He's called the tempter, the dragon, the evil one, the devil, the serpent, and of course, Satan himself. Here's what I want you to remember about this guy, our enemy, you guys, and his beginning. First off, that he had a beginning, which means that God has created him and that he must have an end if he had a beginning. Sometimes God, let's put it this way, God always has the devil on a leash. The devil can only do what God allows him to do. The devil's always on a leash. And I know that sometimes that's hard to hear because sometimes you're like, why is the leash so long then? Because I feel like I'm getting beat up a lot by that guy. You know what I mean? but know that God is always there. God's under full control. And whenever he needs to pull the choke chain on Satan, he can do it whenever he wants to. And the second thing I want you guys to remember is that Satan is not equal in power to God. So many people think that God has 50% of the power and the devil has 50% of the power. Not at all. God has all of the power. God has all the power. And there will come a day when we are no longer tempted, we are no longer messed with, and Satan and all of his followers will deal with God and sin will be gone forever. It's so funny to me when we think about like this, like people think like good and evil, the battle, you know what I mean? Because it's like in every single movie, that's what all movies are about, right? It's like this story of you have this guy who's the good person and then the bad guy, and it's like, who's going to win? What's going to happen? You know what I mean? It was all based off of this. This is the first story that ever talked about good and evil, but there's no struggle here. There's no power struggle. God is clearly in control. There's only one person in this world, you guys, who was not created. And by being not created means you have no end, and that's God. And that means if Satan is created, he has an end. So why would we dare follow such a guy who's going to lose? He's on the losing team. He's already a loser. We know he loses. So why would anybody ever want to follow him? But for the time being, Satan does have some independence, you guys. Just like we said in his name, he's the ruler of this world. The Bible calls him the God of this world. And so now we're going to look at in this next point, you guys, some of the tools that he uses against us and against all the people in the Bible. And up until now, we're going to look at these things that he has been using over the ages. And these things have worked very well for him, obviously. So we're going to be in John, still chapter 8, just verse 44. I'm going to reread verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know how many companies, you guys, there's like all those companies, you know, every company, like anything you pick up these days that's like from a manufacturer, it'll say like Heinz ketchup from 1869, you know what I mean? It like says like the beginning date, the end date, you know what I mean? It always says like stuff like that. Well, the devil has his product too, you guys. And he has been pushing his products from a long time ago since he fell back in Genesis till now. If he had a product, it would be lies and deception since 4000 BC. That's roughly about since when Satan fell and has been causing trouble on the earth since roughly 4000 BC. That's 6000 years ago. He's been doing this for 6000 years, messing with people. And I can't wait until the day that he's done. But let's first define this word deception, you guys. Deception means misleading falsehood. A misleading falsehood. That's what the devil wants to do more than anything. You see, people think that the devil is into drugs and getting people on drugs and getting people on crime and doing these things. And he is. Don't get me wrong, you guys. He loves all that stuff too because all of those things are evil. But more than that, he just wants to simply mislead you. Simply mislead you. He wants you to just think that, oh, it's all right if I sin. It's not that big of a deal, man. It's not that big of a deal. It's just a little bit, you know what I mean? It's just a little big, it's just a little sin. It's not a big deal. He wants you to think that maybe if you guys go to a party someday and you're like, somebody offers you a drink, that it's okay. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it and it's all good. It just makes me more of a social person. He wants you to think that, that's okay. That's the business that he's in. Or that maybe lusting after a certain girl or guy, some of you people in here tonight, that it's okay, it's normal. Everybody's got that and everybody's doing it. God, that maybe God doesn't care about you. That maybe you're going through some stuff in your life and he wants you to think that your problems are pretty big and you know, God's a busy guy and you know, I bet he can't deal with that one. He just wants to get that simple truth. He wants you to think that you have plenty of time to be a Christian because you're not going to die soon. I mean, who really dies when they're like under 20 anymore? And, you know, later on in life, I'll become a Christian and I'll get serious about God. You see, all it takes is a little deception for him to succeed, right? All it takes is a little bit. If you guys start thinking that all of a sudden you're going to live till you're 80 years old, and maybe you don't feel like living for God right now, you're like, oh, well then, I mean, I guess I could get serious for God when I'm like 60, and I could still be a Christian for 20 years. But who is to say that you're going to be alive that long? Who's to say that? You guys don't know that. None of us know that. And so that's the deception, and that's the misleading that the devil wants. You know what I mean? Because check this out. The devil doesn't have to tempt somebody to kill somebody. He doesn't have to do that. He just has to make a person think that, oh, I could get away with that. Or, you know what? I've been wronged, and that's something that I need to get back at someone at. Or forgiveness is such a, who forgives anymore these days? That's just a word that's used in the Bible. All he has to do is make you believe that little thing. He doesn't have to convince you to do the big thing. You'll do that on your own once you've been misled just a little bit. Here's the sad part. Every year he lies to people and tells them that it's okay to have an abortion. That it's okay because it's just a woman's right to choose. And that everybody can do it. It's legal. I mean, it's legal, right? So what's the big deal? How sad is that? That because of that little deception that people believe that it's legal and it's okay that a million kids every year lose their lives because of that. You guys have to be very weary of lies that people tell you, especially at your guys' age. You're in middle school, you're going into high school, this is the time when you will be told more lies than ever before in your life. I'll never forget, it was seventh grade summer. I was going into eighth grade year, and it was the first time that somebody asked me to drink alcohol with them. Seventh grade. And luckily at that time, I knew better. And I said, no. But just a couple years later, I had lost sight of God. I have lost sight of the Bible and anything that he wanted to do. And now what became so strong in my life and something I said I wouldn't do, the lines were now blurred. I wasn't sure now what it all meant. And I wasn't sure if it was okay because everybody was doing it. And that was just the misleading truth that I had gotten from the devil. And you know, everybody is doing it. You're right. Everybody is doing these things, you guys. You guys will be in situations where people are doing all of these things. They are drinking. They are doing drugs. They are doing things that are wrong. But that doesn't mean it's okay because everybody is. It means God is the ultimate judge and that he will finally someday ask you about what you've done in your life and if you have the Lord. But the devil has made me think, you know what I mean? It's that he makes you think that it's no big deal. That's all he wants to do. He doesn't have to convince you to do something huge and gigantic. He just has to convince you that it's okay to tell a lie, one little lie, and then the rest will just grow from there. That's just the way it is. It's crazy like that. But so yes, we need to be aware of the big problems in our lives, you guys, but just like those things, we need to be aware of the small things because it all starts with the small things, you guys. Because, I mean, if somebody comes and asks you guys after service, hey, let's go steal a car. Most of you are going to probably say, no, I know better than that. Like, give me a break. Who's going to go steal a car? But what if somebody says, hey, let's go over to my house and watch a TV show that I know I shouldn't be watching, that gets my mind thinking about things I shouldn't be watching, or anything like that? Or, hey, let's be popular this year by any means necessary. Let's gossip. Let's talk trash about our friends. Let's do anything. See, it just starts with those little tiny things, you guys. It doesn't have to be a gigantic thing like stealing a car. So, you know, like I said before, we need to stop thinking of the devil as this scary guy with horns and a pitchfork and start looking in him as a lie. And start looking that when we hear lies in our lives and things that are non-true, that those are what the devil is. You've just had an encounter with the devil when you've seen when somebody lies to you and tells you that, oh, it's okay, it's all good, everybody's doing it. That is the way you're going to encounter the devil in your life. You're not going to encounter some little red guy, you know what I mean? So God says, Jesus says right here, he made up this language of lies. He's like, lies are, the devil created lies. He wrote books on lies. He is the author of all that has to do with lying and falsehood. And that's why he wanted to exalt himself over God. So check this out, though. There are consequences, you guys, for believing these lies that we hear. And that's going to bring us to our next point, which is called his consequences. The consequences of following him. Excuse me. Verse 45 and 46. Still chapter 8. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Jesus is saying, when you believe in the devil's lies, some consequences happen. You guys know what it means to have consequences, right? Like, you got a little brother or sister, and you, like, punch them or something, you know that consequences is you're going to get grounded. You know that if you're caught doing something you shouldn't be doing, grounded. You know that if you, you know the old thing, you reap what you sow, right? You know all that. I don't have to tell you that. And there's the same thing for the devil. There's consequences. Jesus is saying when you start believing all these lies, then when you finally hear the truth, you don't even believe it. You've heard so many lies that now when I tell you the truth, you don't even believe it. This is who he was speaking to. He was speaking to these guys who wouldn't believe that he was sent by God. All they wanted to do was question him and question him. He says, hey, you guys already made up your mind in your head. You guys have already said that I'm not the Christ. Like, whatever. And now I'm telling you the truth of God himself, and you don't even want to hear it. Because you've been listening to a lie so long that the truth has no impact on you anymore. It'd be like if all your entire life somebody told you that 3 times 6 is 7. I'm sorry, 3 times 2 is 7. Right? So I'm like, 3 times 2 is 7. Hey, 3 times 2 is 7. 3 times 2, and you're like, oh, okay. And then eventually you're like, hey, 3 times 2 is 6. No, it's 7. Why? No, it's not. It's 7. And it's because you've been hearing these lies over and over and over that you can't even hear the truth anymore. We know the truth. We know it's 3 times 2 is 6. We know that. But it's when you constantly hear the wrong thing, then the truth has no bearing on you. It doesn't penetrate anymore. And we need to be careful because there's some of you here who maybe aren't paying attention to this truth. All we do here at Velocity is give truth, because that's what biblical teaching is just giving the truth of the Bible. There's nothing in this book that is false. So all we're giving is truth here. And I'm telling you about God because maybe some of you guys have this idea and you've heard this lie so long that you don't need church. You don't need God. You don't need these things, that even when I stand up here, it's like zone out time because you're deaf to the truth. Because you've heard so many lies in your life. You'll only be here because maybe you have to, and that can be dangerous. Because if you believe in the lies and you continually to believe in these lies, you will eventually continue to deny the Lord, because just like these guys, the truth, you'll turn a deaf ear to the truth, because that's just what he's saying happens here. And every time you guys deny the truth, it gets harder and harder to accept the truth, you guys. It gets harder and harder. Every time you deny God, it gets harder and harder to do it. Jesus is saying to those guys and you guys, I am the truth. He's saying that to them and you guys. I am the way. I am the life. I've already done this. I've come to save you. You don't need to live in this lie. You need to live for me so that you can be with truth. But you know what this point of this whole summer series we've been talking about is, guys, though, is that you have a choice. And when it comes down to it, you guys, you can either choose to follow the Lord or you can choose not to. It all comes down to you. No one's going to force you to follow God and not to. But this is going to bring us to our last point, which is verse 47. It's called Your Choice. Chapter 8, verse 47. He who is of God hears words. Hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear me, because you are not of God. I don't know how many of you guys are saved in here. I hope a lot of you, and I hope all of you, but it got a lot easier to come to church after I got saved. It just does. You guys can agree with that, right? I mean, I remember growing up, I was unsaved, and I still went to church. Church was like, oh my goodness, the worst part of my weekend. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I have to give up an hour of my time in the morning. I'm freaking exhausted. You know what I mean? You're just like, I do not want to do that. But guess what? That's just like Jesus said. He says, that's the way you're going to be. He says, if you're not of God, then you don't want to hear God's words. And that was me. I wasn't of God back then. I was of myself, and therefore I didn't want to hear what they were talking about. And that's great, because one day I finally decided, I had all these questions, and I wanted to know more about God. And you know what I'm going to do? I decided I was just going to give my life to God first and come out on faith, and then something happens. I became of God. I said, I have all these questions. I have all these things that I want answered. but I'm going to just step out on faith here and just, I didn't know what it meant. I knew that what Jesus had done for me, but I said, God, if you're real, then you have to meet me here and you have to do it. And so I did, and he's shown me ever since then. And now I've been able to hear the truth, absorb it, and learn, because that's what he's saying right here. Because if you're of God, you hear this truth and you believe it. And sometimes you don't understand it all, you guys, but when you give your life to the Lord, it becomes so much clearer. Because now you're not of the world, you're of God, and it gives you the Holy Spirit, which is something special to help you understand everything and understand truth. I thought the church was all about lies. I didn't know anything. And now I can embrace the truth because I've given my life over to God. And the Bible says, you know what it says? The truth will set you free, you guys. Jesus will set you free, which is awesome. You see, you can only be of two people in this world, you guys. It's very simple. You can be of the devil, which is believing that in this world and basically living the life that you want. Or you live of God and you live for whatever he wants. That's it. If you're not living for God, you're living for the ruler of this world, Satan. Now, maybe you're thinking, whoa, 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 like back up. Just because I don't want to be a Christian doesn't mean that I'm a Satanist follower, right? Maybe you're thinking that. But you don't have to be a church, you don't have to be a member of the church of Satan to follow Satan. You just have to be against God. That's all it means. You just have to be against God. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, you guys, that those who aren't with me, they're against me. He didn't say, hey, those aren't with me or they're for their own cause. He says specifically, you're with Jesus or you're against Jesus. There's only two places you can be. And that means you can only be one or the other. I love how clear that Jesus makes it. You know why I hate when most people say, you guys have definitely heard this. I know you have. How many people have heard, oh man, I can't wait to go to hell. It's going to be like a party 24/7, right? Andrew, okay. Like I've heard a million people say like, hell's going to be it's going to be like a party. Why wouldn't I want to go there? I'll see you there. I'll be like the first one in line. And they make a mockery out of it. And I hate it. And it's so crazy. And I can't believe when people do that. But just like we said earlier, the devil just wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe that he somehow has possession over hell. And that it is going to be this great party. It is going to be awesome. That is so untrue. And just what he wants you to believe, which is deceit and a lie. You know why he wants to do that, you guys? Because the devil's ultimate demise is to suffer, and he's going to. And so he wants all of you guys to suffer with him. God already told us what's going to happen in the end of the world. The devil will be put to suffer in the lake of fire, and he will have no party for all of eternity. He will have punishment for eternity. You want to know who's going to be doing the partying? We are going to be doing the partying. The Christians in heaven. We are the ones who are going to be enjoying amazing lifestyle. We're the ones who get to do all this great stuff. We're the ones who get to be in heaven with God and live forever. We are going to be the ones who are having a party. That's the best part. The devil has no control over his future, you guys, and I want you to remember that. And he has no control over hell either. Hell was only made for the devil, you guys. Hell was literally made for the devil because he fell and God had to make a place for him to go once he decided to be done with him. And I want you guys to know this too. Hell was not made for you. Ezekiel 18:23, God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's not like God's like, hey, you, blasphemer, pow, done, gone to hell. Hey, you. You spoke lies about me. You know what I mean? Like he's not like, hey, you, adulterer, I'm going to zap you. You know, and he pulls out his like lightsaber, whatever, gun thing. You know what I mean, though? Like God doesn't do that. God says, no, 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 no. You guys, you need to understand this. I already took care of it. You don't need to go to hell. You don't need to go there. I've reserved that place for this guy, the devil, who wants to be there because he wants to exalt himself for me. But you don't have to go there. You don't have to be there. It was never made for you. And God doesn't want you, and nor does God get any pleasure when people go there. God doesn't send anybody there. People send themselves there by the decisions that they make in their lifetime. In the end, you'll have no one to blame but yourself, or no one to thank but Jesus. That's all it's all about. You'll either be thanking Jesus for his saving or you'll be really mad at yourself. So the devil, you guys, he's a horrible guy. He's got some tough tools. But check it out, dude. He's got no power over God. He has no power over God. I love what this one pastor said. He said, you know, there's something comforting in knowing that Satan and all of hell is my enemy. And I would say the same thing. That's such a cool thing to know, that the person who starts all the evil in this world is our enemy, and we hate him, and we don't want anything to do with him. God, Jesus told himself, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, saying, when you have the Spirit in you, don't even worry about it, because he can't even touch you. He'll never leave you. So I wonder how many of you guys tonight have been living a lie. Maybe some of you guys have been told something about church, about Jesus, about God, about anything, about what's okay and what's not okay. Maybe you haven't been looking into God's word. Maybe you guys have been selfish. Maybe some of you guys gossip. You look at pornography. Whatever you do, you insert it there. You guys know what you do. You guys know the things that you've done that are sinful that God wouldn't want you to do. And for those of you who've given your lives already to Christ, then it should just be a night for you to ask for forgiveness from the Lord and say, God, I've gotten off your path a little bit. I believed in some lies instead of the truth, and I just want to get back on path. But for some of you who have never given your lives to God, not only do you need forgiveness, but you need a Savior as well. And don't believe the lies, you guys, that you have plenty of time. The Bible says today is the day of your salvation. Today is, because who knows what tomorrow will bring. And who knows if tomorrow will even come. Jesus already took the punishment for all of us, you guys. There's no need for us to live without knowing where we're going to go at the end of the day. I'm going to ask Ryan to come up here and sing one more song, you guys. And then I'm going to pray right now. And then we just have about 4 more minutes, you guys. But I'm just going to stand over here, you guys. And if any of you guys need to pray, if any of you guys need anything, you guys need a you know, anything you want to talk about, I'll be over there. Lisa's in the back. Andrew's right there. And Matt's right there, too, if you guys need any prayer or anything. All right, you guys? So I'm going to pray, and then he'll dismiss you after the song. God, thank you so much. God, thanks for being the truthful God. God, I'm just reminded about your word when you said you've held nothing back from us. You call us friends now. You've shared all the secrets you have, Lord. God, thank you for freeing us of the lies that our enemy has talked about, Lord. And God, I just pray that we would be better disciples, Lord. God, that you would just touch some people's hearts in here tonight who have been living in a lie and who need your truth, Lord. God, you're so good. We love you. In Jesus' name.